Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for March 29th, 2013.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
If you're a monkey or a human, you want to have X number of neurons, not too many, not too few.
The World Health Organization, or WHO, estimates that greater than 2 million newborns and infants less than 6 months of age die every year around the globe due to infection.
Gene expression is not static, it's very dynamic, and it can be affected by many things.
What we found was that if you raise the humidity, the infectivity of the virus drastically decreased.
This week, could humidity affect flu transmission, the effects of sleep deprivation on your genes, and why too many brain cells could be a bad thing? But first, Suzanne Bard reports on a molecule that could make it possible to rev up the newborn immune system.
Globally, more than 2 million children under the age of 6 months die every year from infections like strep and rotavirus. That's due in part to the relative immaturity of the newborn immune system. But researcher David Dowling and his colleagues at Boston Children's Hospital have now identified a molecule that could potentially kickstart a newborn's response to vaccines. Dr. Ofer Levy, who supervised the study, explains.
What we did was we took human cord blood cells from newborn humans and we tested them in culture systems and we added different molecules to them to determine whether some of these molecules can enhance or boost a newborn immune response.
They found that a molecule called VTX-294 activated receptors on white blood cells, which rapidly mounted an immune response. The molecule is already being tested for its ability to boost the immune system of adults being treated for cancer. And the researchers hope VTX molecules could one day be added to vaccines so they can start working as early as the first day of a baby's life.
Thanks, Suzanne. In our next report, scientists are learning that too many brain cells aren't necessarily a good thing when it comes to the developing fetus. Correspondent Justin Warner has that story.
Killing healthy brain cells may be an important part of prenatal development. This according to neuroscientist Stephen Nochter of the University of California, Davis. He and his colleagues studied microglial cells, which eat up dead or defective brain cells. Looking at fetal brain tissue from monkeys and rats, Nochter's team found microglial cells congregating in clusters of stem cells, which were completing a phase of rapid development. Surprisingly, the researchers found nothing wrong with the stem cells.
And we used markers for all the usual suspects, and as of yet, we haven't found any evidence that the neural stem cells targeted by microglia are dead, dying, damaged, or undergoing apoptosis. So, you know, there's a caveat to everything that it could be that there's some signal that we haven't found yet. But the evidence we've gathered suggests that the microglia are targeting healthy neural stem cells.
The study didn't establish why the microglial cells do this, but Nochter suspects they help limit the number of neurons in the brain. That may sound strange, but there's growing evidence that in brain development, as in many other aspects of life, too much of a good thing can be bad.
If you're a monkey or a human, you want to have X number of neurons, not too many, not too few. And our work suggests that microglial cells are one of the systems that put brakes on neurogenesis to make sure there isn't overproduction of cells.
Thanks, Justin. Just 1 week of mild sleep deprivation affects the function of 711 different genes. This according to researchers at the University of Surrey in the UK, including chronobiologist Simon Archer. His team took blood samples from volunteers over the course of a week. One group slept 8 hours a night, the other six.
Gene expression is not static, it's very dynamic, and it can be affected by many things, environmental factors as well as internal factors. The levels of changes that we've seen are quite large and are comparable to the kinds of differences that you would see if you were to compare, for example, a normal tissue with a diseased tissue.
Among other things, genes linked to inflammation and stress increase their activity in sleep-deprived people, while master control switches that regulate the whole body became sluggish. Since long-term sleep deprivation is already linked to a wide range of problems, from cognitive impairments to heart disease, the study may help scientists decipher the root causes. Viruses are far smaller than bacteria, harder to detect, and difficult to grow in culture. So trying to figure out the circumstances under which they thrive and spread is a big challenge. A new study looks at the effects of humidity on the infection potential of the flu virus. Suzanne has that story.
High indoor humidity may cut down on the transmissibility of the influenza virus. This according to researchers at the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health. They built a simulated examination room to study how the flu virus behaves in healthcare settings. Inside, they placed a device that simulates coughing, which they loaded with flu virus along with a mannequin that simulates breathing. Then they measured how much active virus the mannequin breathed in after simulated coughs at different levels of humidity. Biologist John Noddy led the study.
What we found was that if you raise the humidity, the infectivity of the virus drastically decreased. What we also found was that the infectivity decreased fairly quickly after a cough. Within the first 15 minutes of coughing, a significant portion of the virus was rendered inactive by the high humidity.
He says below 23% humidity, infectivity remained high, but rapidly plummeted when it topped 40%. He says more testing is needed to find out whether this effect could hold up in everyday settings.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's all we have for you this week. Next week, we'll have more thrilling science stories for you. But if you can't wait that long for your next science fix, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, we'll send you a Science Update mug. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.